All right, y'all ready? We're going to go ahead and call this budget meeting to order. Mr. Bronson, you can roll, note the absence of Adam, Charles, everybody's out.
Adam will not be here, Dale will be late, and I have not heard Charles, but...
I saw Charles drive through town as I was coming here, so I thought he was coming. So I don't know.
He'll be here.
Or I was pretty sure it was him, so...
Either you want to sit on this side so you can see the big screen?
I got eyes. I got eyes back here.
He has eyes behind the tree.
He married Sandra Powell, he had to learn that. Yeah, we go. There he is. Charles, we already started, so...
Good.
Or we just starting, so...
You got to sing, though.
Roll around to the other side there.
So as a reminder, this is the second of four workshops that we'll have. We reviewed all the expenditures for the utility fund, really water, electric, sewer last time. We're going to review all the other funds today, expenditure side. Then next month, we'll review the revenues. And then we'll have a special call meeting on April 28th where we will give you the staff's proposed budget. You have first reading on May 12th. Any suggestions or changes you want to make between the April 28th and 12th, then we will schedule. And even though I have a public hearing on May 12th, we'll hold a public hearing on June 9th. So you have multiple opportunities to change anything that we give you on the 28th. But today what we're doing is recapping the last year just to kind of help orient both you and us to what our revenues and expenses are. So if you look across all the years and all the funds, every time you see numbers listed that don't say audited, those are years 25, 24, and 23, 22 numbers are audited. The 26 numbers are budgeted. You'll see some of those spikes in there have to do with timing of expenditures at Horton, expenditures in the water, USDA money, and we can break that down however you'd like to see it. Some of it will be broken down as we go through the slide today. I'm going to roll until you stop me with questions, if that's all right. So starting with the general fund, we talked about millage. I didn't go way back in time. I just kind of put what's in the chart below. That chart that you see there comes from the county auditor. She provides this to us each year. It shows our total assessed value, market value. We are about to go into a reevaluation year. If you have not looked at last week's administrative report, the South Carolina Department of Revenue came and did a presentation for city and county officials. It was early last week, and everything you want to know about city and county millage is in that report. So I dropped it in there. It'll kind of explain the ins and outs. I'm happy to go over that with anybody anytime. But for us, what are we looking at in terms of how we budget, where our money's at? It's these red circles down here. So when you wonder, when we talk about a mill, this year we've got 94.8 mills. If you take that, the value of each mill is about $7,700. And so you can see our growth rate. It slowed down between 24 and 25. That's the 3.52 increase right there. Prior to that, we were seeing between 4 and 5% increase each year. So I'm interested to see when they do reassessment this next time where we fall. Each time they do a reassessment, there are often opportunities for council to do what's called a millage rollback. So if the assessed values come in significantly higher than what we have been seeing, They do some calculations that are detailed in that report that tell you what you should set your millage at. So if our assessed value comes back and it's putting the value of a mill, let's just say at $8,700, you would need to roll your millage back because you are not required, you're not allowed to have this windfall of money. Mm-hmm. And that's by state law, and that was all done when we went to the 4% versus 6% on residential versus non-residential. So we'll be doing those calculations later this year. We'll set our budget with a mill in mind, and then if you have to do a millage rollback, that'll take place after the budget, but the dollar amounts will still stay the same, if that makes sense. Because we will budget toward the same dollar amount that this value gets us.
Now, those, all those houses that were built over the last few years is why we've seen such an increase, I know.
Yeah.
Those were based on the old value, the old assessment value. This year, all of those should increase, shouldn't it?
Yeah, there's sometimes as much as an 18-month lag.
Yeah.
So if you go through that report, and I can't remember, Mayor, exactly how it delineated it, but when you apply your tax rates to this year's budget, mm-hmm. in June of 26, it'll go into effect when bills are issued this fall, mm-hmm. but that assessed value was actually set nearly 18 months ago. So there's always a lag to that catching up. I expect that this is going to go up a higher percentage when we get that reassessment done.
I do too.
Just kind of looking at all the improvements we've seen to homes and businesses in town, and new construction. Anyway, I think that's still good growth. Anytime you're at least keeping up with CPI and your assessed value, that's good. And then I gave you, just as a recap, what our millage values are. Mm-hmm. Expecting that'll go down when we do reassessment this year. And we are still planning to budget for a 1 mil reduction in the budget that we present to you, because that's what you told us you wanted at the planning session. I'm not going to linger long on these detailed slides. I'll give you a few minutes to look at it. If you have any questions, just ask. If you come up with questions later when you look at it, send me an email, give me a call, we'll talk about it. We can drill down into any of the numbers that you see there. I will note that $5.8 million that you see in 25 contractual services and administration, actually that was some of the spend expenditures at Horton.
Yes, and that's also transfers.
Mm-hmm. Transfers to other funds, some money coming in, moving out. You guys don't have to worry about this, but when we've gotten the money from the state, when we got the $5 million, and then when we got the $1.5 million, they deposit it into one account, which is usually a general fund, and then we have to move it. Mm-hmm. So sometimes that gets reflected in the audit. Ashley's doing a good job of keeping track of all that.
Good job, Ashley.
But if you ever want to see the drill down into any of these sets of numbers, just say so, we'll provide it. Public Works. Kevin Harbin does a pretty good job of keeping Public Works in tight order. Public Safety is where we get fun, where we have police and fire pay scales. And we keep pay scales on every city position that we have, so if you want to see that, just let me know. But these are usually the two that we highlight. If you go or think back to 2022, we did some pretty major adjustments in police and fire pay, and that was because we were either losing and or not attracting the firefighters and officers that we wanted to have because they were going to other agencies. We did that big adjustment in 2022. As we as a staff have begun developing this budget that we will propose to you at the end of April, there's some sense that we're starting to lose ground. We did a lot of bump up, well, particularly in police. When we do a bump up, Wahala does one, the sheriff's office does one, highway patrol has kind of been the one that leads it because that money comes from the state. I'm not really suggesting, and I don't know that we will suggest that you do anything different than what we do for other employees. But I just wanted to make you aware that we're seeing at a minimum some erosion of that ground we made up in 2022. Because after you did that year, you also gave a 5% COLA, then you gave another 5% COLA, but now the last 2 or 3 years we've had 3% COLAs. And that's where some of that erosion starts to take place, because where we leapfrogged over a few agencies, they caught up, and so it's just, it's never ending.
One follows the other.
Yes.
So why don't we try lowering them real quick and see if everybody follows that. Fred didn't like that, dude.
He laughed, but I don't think that was a ha-ha.
All right. Fred, real quick though, Fred, what are you hearing on that? I mean, I've heard some rumors that it's going to start going up again, is it? From the state level?
Yeah. I was reading the Daily West Union went up on a lot of some money, some kind of wage more for their police salary. So, we try to be competitive, but.
Oh, I know it's coming. Michael, you got county, or they. With their county's budget situation,
lost,
they're doing.
The county's lost 5 in the last 2 weeks. Meetings, county.
Heavy.
I don't think money is the sole source of that, but Pickens County is where they went because they were paying more.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
All right. So this is mostly as a resource for you to have to go back to as we prepare the budget and you look at things. Not asking you to act on anything here. When you look at police, code enforcement, the personnel services was a little bit conflicting or confounding to me. So Ashley and I looked at it a little deeper. We did have to pay a couple of officers that left. They had built up PTO. So that's why that number's a little higher. We stopped giving Fred PTO, so if he leaves, he doesn't get any money. That's a joke. You didn't laugh.
He didn't laugh at that one.
Yeah, he didn't give me a non-funny ha.
He's just not happy today.
He's not, yeah, we'll loosen him up.
He's not good.
Okay, so this is kind of where the rubber meets the road is what's our calls for service? You see our calls for service going up. You can see that under Fred's leadership in particular, where our officers are answering more calls. That goes to two things. One, Fred's leadership, and then two, 24-hour coverage, where before we would have anywhere from 8 to 4 hours a day that was being covered by the sheriff's office. We're up to 24 coverage now, have been for a while. We've got certified officers that are still doing field service training during the day, but then they'll be able to get into the shift rotation coming up. Each month, I am at the end of each month, or the last administrator report of each month, you will see Fred's call report. I dropped that in that administrator report, so you can see just how much our officers are doing. I'm impressed at the number of people that they pull over that end up going to jail because there was some outstanding warrant on them. I mean, our guys are very thorough. This number I expect to be higher when we get at the end of 2026 based off of Fred's current trends just after 2.5 months. Here's the authorized FTE count. Then equipment. Council has been very gracious to, going back, what year was it? 2022, where we got 3 new Tahoes, and we had a bunch of old Tahoes, and I think we still had a Crown Vic or two in there. And you can see we have largely rebuilt that stock. We're hanging this Tahoe that is second from the bottom is still in good shape, but it's the kind where you and I, when we drive our cars, it's nothing for us to go over 100,000 miles, but police vehicles getting 100,000 miles, that is a lot of miles, because they're in them and they're hard on them, just because of the way that they drive. We still have this one old Tahoe Fred doesn't quite want to give up. He's got some emotional attachment to it. I don't know what it is. But the reason that we keep this one is because if any of those go down, I've got to have something. We've got to have something to put an officer in.
Yeah.
And so having backups. At one point, we had a backup for each shift, and now we only have the one backup. Going over to fire. And again, it doesn't account for all of that extra that you see in personnel services, but we did have a payout for an employee in 2025, and we also had a workers' comp claim in 2025 where we had a lot of overtime. So when we have a firefighter that is injured, we have to pay overtime to cover for his or her shifts. Mm. And so that drove that number up. And right now we're going through some of that again because it through what, the end of December was when we finally, when that employee went on permanent disability. So we no longer have homeowners comp. Fire 1% fund, you guys don't do anything with that, but because it's on our balance sheet, I show it to you. By the numbers, the FTE count. Again, you see call volume went up drastically under the new fire service contract that we have. I have asked for discussions to begin negotiating the next fire service contract. So the one that we have right now is a 3-year contract, chief, with maybe an auto renewal for a year. But we're going to go in and look at that. One of the reasons you see this big jump right here is because when we went with that higher amount of money from the county, the chief added more calls that he had to respond to. He had to start responding to more medical calls than he had to before.
Is this the negotiation where we get the new fire truck that he needs?
Hopefully.
Okay. So it went into effect, 24, 25, 26, and a new one will go into effect?
27.
Yeah. We need a fire truck.
Yes, we do. We need two, actually.
We definitely need one. At least one.
Yeah. So, yes, that is exactly where that comes in.
Okay.
And there are a number of mechanisms other than just straight-out cash payment between the county and the city that can help us achieve that. So the county has a fire, I'm going to say fire truck replacement program. Can we get in that program with them? And so we'll negotiate everything that we can to help make sure the Westminster Fire Service Territory has got the best equipment and the best people. Because it's not just the city limits that we're covering here, it's that bigger territory. And you can see that when we got the additional money, we increased the three firefighters, or added three firefighters back. So there's where the numbers changed on the annual payments from the county. And where we rode for more than a decade on that 1,285 number, I do not expect I've already told you, we're planning not to ride that long on the 550. I do believe that fire service is on County Council's radar for this upcoming year. I believe it's on their administration's radar. There are some adjustments that can be made. It gets kind of small if you're reading it off the screen, I know, but we like to give you the information. Again, you have spent considerable money to upgrade what I would call the administrative vehicles. As Charles mentioned a minute ago, we're down to the point where the administrative vehicles are in good shape. Some of them are in really good shape. Jeff Claren's vehicle is brand new. But we've got to get to the bigger stuff, and the bigger stuff is where big money comes in. So we like, just like you have on police, we like to show you what we've got, what the miles are. I would pay more attention to Chief Smith's condition rating than the mileage. Mileage in terms of fire service vehicles really tells you a little as compared to the condition. These things can run a long time, and sometimes they run a long time because we've got good fire staff that know how to make them last long. But when they're mechanics, they're not firefighters. So
they need an hour meter instead of mileage.
That might be.
That's what you ought to have, the hour meter.
They do, the fire engines do.
That's what we ought to have to look at. Mileage don't matter.
The only problem with the hour meter is it only works when the pump is in gear.
Not when the engine just sitting idle.
So it's got a lot of hours, probably more hours than mileage, really.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
So I'll stop there before we move on to solid waste. So police and fire, I'll go ahead and let you know, both chiefs have asked for additional staff. What I told them is what I tell you. We can afford what we can afford. We can't afford what we can't afford. So I asked both of them, as I asked the other department heads as we went through the meeting, because there were a couple of positions that came out of utilities. If we were to add more people or keep the COLA, what would you rather do? And they all said, keep the COLA. You got to keep the salaries moving for who we have on staff. So we're going to give you a plan where you've got a balanced budget, and then if you decide that you want to make some adjustments, then we'll go from there. I don't know right now whether or not there'll be a new position in the budget or not, because we haven't got to that part of the budget construction. Solid waste. And I'm sorry I ended up putting this in here. I like to use all the numbers that we have, but Jason is our accountant, so occasionally he goes in and he makes journal entries to make sure we're following generally accepted accounting principles. So one of those happened. Most of that had to do with the fact that all the debt service did not get paid out of, you can see where that was the debt service in 24. It should have been roughly about the same amount. Jason moved the money between this fund and the utility fund for Jason purposes, for what he needed it to do. So I put it up there because if I didn't, the numbers wouldn't match otherwise. Again, anything that you see up here that you want us to drill down in on, we can get you that number. I think solid waste is pretty good. I always give Harbin a good or a lot of credit for running a tight budget. Where we're getting with solid waste, though, is we've bought 3 years in a row, three new pieces of equipment. So that's made our debt service payments really high. And you'll see here in a minute, we've already done quite a few rate increases. So we really need to let the customer base build up. Here it is. But some of this is inflationary pressure. The equipment went a long time without being replaced, which is why we replaced a lot of it in the last couple of years. There's longer term debt service on the public works vehicles than the police vehicles. I think I've told you, we try to purchase those over 3 to 5 years. 3 is my preference. The bigger equipment gets amortized over 7 to 10 years. I try to keep it on the lower amount, but it's always when we're negotiating with the bank on the terms of the lease purchase agreement, they generally get to a point and they're like, here's what we'll take in terms. So that's what we take. So you'll see the debt service schedule will be on this PowerPoint again for you to look at, which you'll see probably on about every PowerPoint that we have. There's two of my favorite people. Rebecca retired, but that's Connor and Maggie. And if you're wondering, if you walked out of here and you saw Connor and Maggie, they don't look like that anymore.
No, they do not.
They are grown. They are grown people now. Just Rebecca and those kids. Youth Rec Fund, and I'll use a Rebecca Overton phrase here, struggle bus. Youth Rec's income is very haphazard in terms of a monthly cash flow. It's not haphazard in terms of seasons in which we play sports, but it's not a monthly cash flow. So there's a small boom, and then there's a big, long wait. And then there's a small boom, and there's a big, long wait. My plan, unless you want me to do otherwise, is to combine Youth Rec with the general fund, because the last couple of years we have had to actually move money out of the general fund cash account to fund cash at Youth Rec. Mm-hmm. Now, the budgets are still sound, but behind the budget, I've also got to have the cash to keep everything moving. And that's been a struggle with Youth Rec the last couple of years. Maybe we start hosting tournaments, and I'm happy to talk about tournaments when we get to the staff or the council meeting today, and I've been putting it in the admin report. Herb's got some good tournaments coming up. It's going to bring people in town. And we have to have money to pay for that up front, and then we get money on the backside. So it's more of a cash flow issue than anything else. Youth Rec, I used to have a chart on the bottom of this slide that showed how much came from hospitality and how much came from general fund. And out of that roughly $600,000, I think more than half of that was coming from those other two sources. So we augment that with tax dollars and hospitality tax. So. Mayor, you love to see participation rates. Herb tracks this every single month, every single sport, every single season. He's got this going all the way back to, I won't say the inception of Herb, but for quite a long time, I think he's got it going back into the 20-teens. And that's just to show you, if you look at that green bar up there, 87%.
Yeah, we can't see the green bar.
You can't see that on there. I'm sorry, it's not 87%. It's roughly 80% of those we serve are outside the city limits. I'm sorry, that printer.
So we had 1,102 last year, total.
Yes. Well, and Mayor, there's always something that has a lag. No, that would be for all of 2025. We're far enough in 26. Sometimes when he gives me these reports, there are seasons that hadn't been recorded, but I think this has got all the seasons that we finished out.
See, that's what the county needs to see.
Is the T-ball switched there? Because that's weird that 72 are inside and 8 outside when they're on everything else outside is just
That's weird. I take it.
Not that it matters. I mean, numbers are numbers.
Yeah, he needs to check that because he might have missed that. That's the only one that would be that way.
To check that, Kyle. Local Development Corporation, not a whole lot to see there. I will note that for quite a few years now, we've had the funding source for the Local Development Corporation. One year we did get a $25,000 grant from the Municipal Association, but annually we get money from PMPA. You should expect that, and in this fiscal year, we got $20,000 from PMPA. In 2028, that money goes away. So it's got a good, healthy balance right now. We're getting, I don't know, a couple of applications every couple of months, I guess, might be the best way to say it.
Do you mean that it just rolls over?
Right. Well, the money you have will stay, but we won't be getting those $20,000 payments from PMPA. PMPA does a calendar year, fiscal year. So theirs goes from January to December. So January 2029, we will not have that $20,000 in their budget. But as I mentioned, David, you know, we got that grant from the Municipal Association that we were able to fund stuff with for a while. And if you look back in 2022, you can see just how low our balance got. There was one point where we actually couldn't give any grants out because we were out of money. Hospitality and accommodations tax, again, we're just looking at the expenditure side. And the big number that you see in there, we didn't have a $1.1 million. It was in H tax revenue. That was some of that $1.5 million money that we got from the state flowed through. Or was it the $900,000? So the $1.5 didn't come through here?
Not on
hospitality. Okay, I'm sorry. When we did the $900,000 limited obligation bond to cover the rest of the Horton Pledge, that's what you see show up right here. For the most part, if you take that out, we're around a $200,000 budget.
But you got 2026 looking at 400?
Yeah, well, that's because you have 200 coming in again from Horton.
Okay.
And 200 from our actual tax receipts.
Okay. But we're still hanging around 200 in on.
Still hanging around. We're probably going to come in under 200 this year.
No, Lauren's opening up Waters in the morning, so we're going to jump right back up. See, there you go.
Right.
She's going to be all day.
Well, certainly having another one open.
That's going to help.
Yep. Well, you know, it was bad timing when Yusuf's closed, and then Beef and Rib has struggled a little bit. Those hurt. Local accommodations does okay. I will note that where you see where we had a higher number for a while, and then we went down. Some of that is related to Magnolia Manor, where the previous owners were running it as essentially an Airbnb, and it's not being run that way now. So that's what you see reflected there. The Relax does pretty good business. I mean, one, I look out the window and I see the cars. There are weeks where that parking lot's full.
Yeah.
But their receipts are decent for the number of rooms that they have. So make fun of them if you will. They're making money.
There you go.
Okay, so, and I put this under policy considerations because it is always a policy decision whether or not you stick with that 5% franchise fee, which is my suggestion that you do. We've adopted that in a financial policy, and you can see we're now in our third year. 26 would move us into our fifth year of that. Calculating cash on hand. You guys saw this at the last presentation that we did. Again, you can see our cash on hand is going down. There's a number of variables in that. One, that calculation has to do with, for a long time, we didn't have assets to depreciate. So now that when we've put a lot of new assets in the ground, that means our accumulated depreciation is going up, mm-hmm. which we didn't have that as an issue before. So that draws that calculation down. The other thing is we have used some of that cash. Helene hurt some of that, which is now back in the budget. And then the IT breach, which is not going to be reflected in there, which when you look at this year, may be in there. But we've mentioned before, or I've mentioned as we started this fiscal, as the planning for this next budget year, that beefing up the amount of cash we have in the bank is going to be important, in my opinion, because we've got to have more money in the bank to handle what you'd call working capital when we've got more stuff going on. Horton would be a great example. There's going to be a lot of money coming and going, I think, through the Horton Rec Complex, but I've got to have money sitting so when we front stuff, I can pay that bill to wait on the money to come back later. But I've got to have the money in the bank to be able to do it. So anyway, I'm hoping when we get the audit done for this year, we'll start creeping back up. I am going to construct a budget for you that starts preparing for some of this. Whether you decide to leave it in there or not, that would be, again, a policy decision for you to make. We have an obligation when we did the combined utility system bond, the $4.8 million bond. The bond resolution says that you'll keep $1.25 on hand for every dollar's worth of expense we have. And so we are under that calculation right now. But we're also in the midst of a fiscal year. So we want to make sure that we are holding to our covenants into to good sound.
So just for reference, when you say days of cash on hand, what number makes you feel comfortable?
90.
Okay.
That's 3 months.
Right.
So when Helene came through, this was our number when Helene came through. We didn't miss a beat, Jamie. We kept moving. Yeah. I don't think, you guys tell me, did we curtail any expenses because of Helene? I don't think we did. So even though we had $300,000+ worth of Helene expenses, we were able to cash flow that and keep moving.
Right.
Now, Reagan and Chief Smith did a great job of making sure, and Scott did a great job of making sure we recouped that through FEMA. But at the time, because we had the cash in the bank, we didn't have to curtail any other operations because of those expenses. And like one of them that was big where we called in a crew from out of state, Dothan, Alabama? We called that crew in from Dothan, Alabama. Well, when they left their yard in Dothan, Alabama, we started paying for them. It took them 20-some hours to get here. So that 20 hours, we paid for them, and we didn't get any work out of them. Now, when they landed, they started, as Lee Baker would call, planting poles left and right. They were a pretty good pole crew. And we got a lot out of them. We also had some expenses with Blue Ridge Electric, where they gave us a crew of theirs. That was the bulk of what that money went to. Not to mention that Scott and Harbin had to move a water line off of a bridge that was about to fall down.
And
y'all did that, what, in 48 hours we got that?
It was.
Notice how I say we got that done. Cash enables us to do that. So I think there's some businesses where they say cash is king. Whether it's king or queen, it certainly helps to have it. This, again, those of you who were here when we looked at this last time, this is how PMPA calculates. They do a benchmarking report, and it only covers 9 months. So pay attention to this right here. And we don't look very strong at all when you use PMPA's calculations. Now, this is because this is how Julianne London, if you haven't met her, you may meet her this summer. This is how she does it across all the participants. And I just make a note down here that the way she capitalizes capital leases hurts our cash days on hand. And our auditor went back and forth with her in an email where he had a different opinion than she did, but it's her report, so she gets to produce it. I've always given it to you because this gets produced to all 10 participant cities. And we only see what our numbers are, and then we see that there are 9 other sets of numbers, but we don't know what other participants that goes to. But we do have the range. And if you ever want to see that whole report, let me know and I'll send it to you. I guess I show you this and I show you this as a way of saying there's multiple ways to look at what our numbers in the bank are. Ultimately, what Ashley Jones and I am looking for is, do we have enough money to pay the bills as they come due and not slow the boys down, or the ladies down, mostly the boys. Debt service schedule, that's a little hard to read, I'm sorry. I asked Ashley to go through, and she's actually broken this down so it's a lot more legible. I'll have that in a future account. For instance, these numbers that you see right here, where you see all of our inside accounting numbers. I've actually had her break it down by fund. You don't care what those numbers are. But anyway, when you look at it, you're going to see solid waste is carrying a pretty good bit of debt because of those three pieces of equipment. Now, we've benefited from them. We needed them. And then you'll be able to see in a more holistic way by fund where the debt lies. But you can see when things start to roll off. You can see those public safety vehicles that we have the last payment due this year. Next year is gone. 2 years from now, those SCBAs will be gone. And so what I look for when I'm planning for you and I'm planning for them, what new equipment can we take on? I'm looking for a year where we go from here to here. Well, you can see in most of the utilities, we got a few years to go because those are big purchases. I think we're at the point now of keeping, if we keep stacking without retiring, we're going to end up with a debt to equity ratio that's much more out of whack than we want it to be. So I just want you to know that's in our minds as we put the budget together for you. And sometimes we ask them to do with what they have, even though I know they need something else. If we can't afford it, we can't afford it. And then the next slide really is just the backup documentation if you want to know what did we buy and how much did it cost, what are the terms, what are the rates, all of it is right there. All right, so these are, as we get to the end of this, I don't think I changed this 0.8 from your last presentation, and I threw this in, and you can't see it very well, but this flashed up in an email I think I got from the EDA that was just showing food prices. Hopefully you can see that a little bit better. If you ever, the U.S. Bureau of Statistics has a lot of good information on it. And you know, if you go buy Honey Nut Cheerios, it's $6.75 a box. A couple years ago, it's $2.32.
And you can't grow them on your own.
You cannot grow Honey Nut Cheerios, no matter how many you plant.
You plant them, donuts will come out. You can't.
So, when I say considerations for council, this is showing you what we're thinking as we're putting the budget together. Rate increases, unknown, subject to PMPA or OJRSA. If we get a rate increase from either one of those, we don't have the ability to absorb it. So very likely I would be asking you to pass along those rate increases. I don't expect one from PMPA. OJRSA, I don't know. We're planning to do a 1 mil property tax reduction. We're planning to budget 4 or 5% franchise fee. We're planning to put contingency money in there. The way we did it last year is I started with 5, and then as I needed money to fill in what you guys said you wanted, I think we ended up around 3. Build cash reserves. So it's kind of talk about that is kind of, if there's a theme for our next budget, it's going to be kind of building financial resiliency. Need to build up some of those cash reserves. Is that the more we do, the more we're going to need to have in the bank. It's tough to have the discipline to set that aside. Ultimately, you decide what our discipline level is. And need to increase cash on hand. I delineate everything out there for PMPA because that lawsuit settlement guides a lot of things. We have to have $1.2 million set aside for that 2035 payment. There are a couple of mechanisms at PMPA that could buy that down, but we don't know if they will come through. So we started planning in this fiscal year with $100,000, which means we're already $100,000 behind. So we should have done it in 2025. We just didn't have the space in the budget to do it. We put it in 2026. I'm planning to put it again in 2027 so that when we get to 2035, we don't have to worry about raising a bunch of rates, or scraping the bottom of the barrel. We've been planning for it. Mentioned this a minute ago, both the chiefs spoke to it, personnel budget pressures due to inflation. I think it's because of Cheerios. It's just that inflationary, we kind of been riding right there with some parts of inflation, in which we also have not just on personnel, but on operating cost. And then just the logistics of managing projects. We've got so many projects going right now. I sometimes worry Scott Paris is going to get bored. And I'm being facetious, he says he doesn't get bored. Not lately?
Not lately.
Not lately. Okay, good. So that becomes an issue, but that's of our own devise. You guys have done a great job. Last year, you built us up to put the money in place to do a lot of projects. Horton was one. All these utility projects that we're doing, which is too many for me just to name off the top of my head. Scott and his team are managing those really well.
How much of our restricted funds do we have in any kind of investment that makes us money?
So any cash that we don't need to pay a monthly bill, we put in what's called the local government investment pool. And that is a pool of money used by the state treasurer's office. Do you know what the yield is on that right now? It typically rides a little bit higher than a certificate of deposit at a bank. It's liquid, so I could, Ashley or Kylie actually could put that money in today, and then we could take it out tomorrow if we needed to, and we would still get 24 hours worth of interest. Or you can leave it there for as long as you want to leave it there. There's not a whole lot of restrictions on it.
I just know if we've got that much money sitting somewhere over time, it could be at least earning something for us.
Yes, and it does.
And if we've got any other accounts like that, to me, it just makes sense to put it in some sort of vessel that'll create some return on that investment or that money.
Yeah.
If we're looking for ways to make more money to supplement budget items in the future, I mean, that's free money off of our money that's just sitting in a regular checking account.
And we did. So when we got the $5 million from the state for Horton, it was 14 months before we started spending it, and all that money sat in the OGA.
And I know we've talked about franchise fees with other companies. I imagine people like Spectrum or AT&T, whoever it is, Vive. Is everybody roughly the same now at roughly 5%, or is that an average?
I think they're all 5%.
Nobody we can bump up anymore?
Well,
I'm just curious.
If you were to bump them up, you should bump them up, all of them up. I could go back and take a look. The standard is between 3 and 8. Most folks end up with a 5. That would be up for you to decide. I could always do a calculation to tell you what that would yield, but the thing to consider in doing that
is who might pull out.
Well, I doubt they'll pull out, because what they do is they just print a bill that says, here's what we're charging you for your monthly fee, and here's what Westminster says is your tax. They just put it on the bill and pass it through to the customer. So it isn't going to come out of I's pocket. It's going to come out of the Westminster's customer's pocket. That's how the telecoms do it.
Just curious.
Yeah. Well, we've renegotiated every pole contract. So we get a fee for every attachment for any of these entities. And we have all of those at competitive rates now, except for VI. And the reason VI's is a little low is because they agreed to put in Wi-Fi at all of our baseball facilities last year. So we agreed to a lower rate, I think, for 2 or 3 years to let them recoup that investment. But it also kept us from having to a cash outflow. And then they catch up, I think, in year 4 or 5. But I still think it was a good deal because we got the Wi-Fi without having... I think they gave us a value of around $40,000 for what they did there. Any other comments, questions from council?
Staff, how many were you, y'all were asking for? Or think, I know we're having to deal, we don't have. How many were you thinking, Fred, that would help you out?
I asked for two, but I'm still up for one.
Mike?
I've asked for a full-time training officer position.
What?
From the city, and if we get the money from the county, that'll get the full one.
Scott, you got anybody? I know we didn't mention staffing with you, I don't think. How are you?
The only thing that we actually looked at or considered is a backup meter.
A backup one?
Meter.
Okay. So is that full-time or part-time or?
It's full-time.
One.
Kevin, a few years back, we got, during the budget meeting, we had, I don't know if you did or Mr. Carter, we actually had a list of salary ranges for all employees when we were looking at the budget.
Yes.
You gonna be able to get us that this year?
Yeah, Kylie, will you make sure that we get?
You remember that, Kylie?
Yes.
Was that Chris or Kevin did that?
That's, we have a pay scale and it shows the position and the range for every one of them.
Yeah, we had something that we could see what our lowest paid employees were getting and, you know, that
oh,
was,
yeah, we did that
too. Yeah, council got
I
a lot out of
that. I get
that
from Andrea. She asked me for that pretty quickly.
This.
But yes, we can get you that. We'll get you the pay scales and we'll get you the actuals.
Yeah. So basically what we're looking at on the budget is our utilities are barely paying for themselves, but they are. Everything we're doing is keeping up. Police needs more than we can afford. Fire needs more than we can afford. The fire we're serving the county more than we're getting paid for. Recreation, we're serving the county a lot more than we're getting paid for. So that's about where we're at, but we're still moving forward as fast as we can go.
Yes, sir.
So we've got more.
We need more growth.
Well, we got the growth. It's just.
We need more.
We need. You just heard me say what we need.
We need more.
We need county to ante up in two places.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, with all the improvements of the utilities we're doing,
well,
I mean, this it should start really showing up now, especially with the new growth we got in the tax.
Well, I hope you all have seen our electric services
more
stable now than
yeah.
It's probably been in decades.
Absolutely.
And I wasn't here decades ago. I can tell you it's hundreds of percents more stable than when I got here in 2020. And I give our electric crew and Richard Tucker the credit for that, because they came in and said, here's what we need. If you want stable electricity, here's what we got to have.
Yeah.
And then you as a council committed to getting that, and our guys put it in the field. And they're under construction right now to underground those lines that are coming through up by Anderson Road. I think we're still set to finish with that by summer. That adds a lot to reliability. There's another section or two where we've got big wire that connects to little wire, that connects to big wire that Taylor wants to go change that out. I think we'll have enough money in that bond money to be able to do that without having to budget for it. So these guys do a great job. I've never seen a group of people who can make a nickel reach a dime better than that peanut gallery over here.
Well, I would not be afraid to say, because I kept notes my first 4 years. I kept notes on every phone call I got. And I would almost bet you if I went back and looked and tried to count them up, I'm getting 90% less calls on water and electric than I was my first 4 years.
Well, you have authorized.
I'm not
water
kidding.
Water went off this weekend.
Huh?
Our water went off this weekend.
You didn't call me? Yeah, I'll write it down now, but you didn't call.
I think you called me on that one. You got water?
Yeah.
You got to pay the bill, Charles.
Yeah, but no, we really, I mean, they've done a hell of a job getting us back on where we needed to be. No doubt. And I think that's going to start. It should start in the next year or two with all of, we're not down, we don't have downtime on power. We don't have all these water line breaks, losing water left and right.
Well, we're also running a whole lot less overtime.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
if
true.
If you go back to 2022, before we put the line in on Hall Road, our overtime budget in water was through the roof. It was almost as much as salaries.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, kudos to all of them, guaranteed.
I have a question about the meters. Talking about backup meter reader, right? How many meters are you reading? That water meters, is that what we're talking about?
water, electric, both.
You got about 1,100 electric. Kylie, do you remember? Is it 2,500 water?
That's about right.
It is 15, yeah.
So it's all manual read?
No. Yeah. So we've started. Why don't you come back to me?
So, Kevin Harvin started about, a year ago, the newer style of the
Well, they've always been in there, but we've been trying to replace with only the remote disconnects.
On the electric side, the meter, there's a cutoff in there, people would go out, pull the meter, put the loops in. Now something they can do with those 2 years, we've been doing it for about a year and a half, replacement. Because some of the original remote read system put in 2016, water and electric are just dying, they're aging out. So on the water side, we're replacing meters, a couple pallets this year, we've got another pallets coming in this coming year. Those are all improving accuracy on reads because the old ones were the mechanical meters, the new ones are digital. They don't miss anything.
Right.
So that helps on the revenue side, plus the information that you can get off of those for customers. But those primarily are remote reads. Now we've got a lot, most of the electric are related. The water side.
Auto read.
The data goes directly in and it's getting office. On the water side.
We're picking up about 30%. That same system, our electric meters, your meter on your house, can hear your water meter's tone. And if it's a newer meter that he's talking about they're replacing, we're picking 30 to 35% of those water meters are automatically reading as well.
Okay.
But any one that doesn't read, then that meter reader still has to go. And then we aren't picking up much outside city limits because we don't have the electric.
You don't have the infrastructure outside.
That makes sense. Okay. I was wondering about that because I know there's some auto reads. I figured there was some of that work going on in the background, but I didn't know if the growth and the meters aging out was outpacing what we were able to keep up with.
Yeah. And the double-edged sword with that one, if you've had a meter at your house for the last decade, we put a new water meter in, your bill's going up. Because those meters slow down with time.
Right.
And so we put a new water meter in, we're catching your usage where before we might have started at 99% of your usage and we got down into the 80s, we put a new meter in, we're back up into the 90s. So we have that with some customers from time to time. They're like, my bill went up. It's like, yeah, we gave you a new meter.
Yeah.
I have a question. Am I assuming right that new builds get that meter instead of the old?
I'm sorry, what, ma'am?
Any new builds, mm-hmm. new home builds, would they get the newest?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I hope so.
We don't put any of the old meters in service. What we can do is rebuild them. Uh-huh. We do have the capability
on
electrics for about a little less than half the price. We can rebuild an electric meter.
The water meters just have to be completely
right.
All right, so we can go to this slide. We can go back to this one. You tell me what you want to do.
I don't like that one. I like that other one.
Lay that one
that's
there.
A food plot material right there. The cloak. See the.
That's poorly cloaked.
The big 8-point ones out of that
cloak.
Thanks, kid.
Thank you.
Y'all got any more questions?
Yes, sir.
Any guidance from Mr. Brunson?
Yeah.
All right, you on your own.
You need to adjourn your meeting.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.